Briefly, the one-eyed man checked the weapon, dropping the clip to make sure it contained ammo. He held the magazine in the light.
Fire blast. The clip is bent. No way this'll feed properly.
Mine's okay.
JB jacked the slide.
Got a full load of 45 rounds.
At the other door, Doc struggled with the handle. Impatiently, he used the silver head of his sword stick to break the window and grab a second long blaster from the hands of the other sec man. He tossed the weapon to Jack and yanked a shoulder bag free of the corpse's stiff arms.
Phew! Fucking A. Lebron's come now.
Yanking open the canvas bag, Doc grinned in delight.
And here is even better news.
He lifted a handful of loaded clips into view.
Spare ammo by the pound, and lots of grins.
Yo.
Ryan held out an open hand. Doc tossed the man a clip, and Ryan slapped it into the breech of the rapid fire, working the bolt to eject a live round, then dropping the clip to insert the bullet again.
This one works. Give me two more. There are a lot of runts.
Doc gave Ryan two more and passed several to Jack. Judiciously, the old man then handed an explosive charge to everybody. The last six he kept in the bag and slung it over a shoulder. Christie studied the military sphere.
What kind are they?
The ball was colored green with a black stripe. She didn't know that code. Holding the Gren in the headlight, JB checked the colorations.
Steel shrapnel. High explosive, anti-personnel.
Shit!
If they used them in the tight confines of the tunnel, the ricochets could tear them into pieces. Dragging the body from behind the wheel, Ryan checked the floor and the glove box. Nothing useful there, except for a metal ring of keys, which he pocketed. Those might come in handy later. Pushing the seat forward, the one-eyed warrior checked the storage compartment behind the seat. He found some gnawed chicken bones, empty brass, a length of rope, a crowbar, a bullwhip, a thermos, some heavy towing chain, a coil of fuse too coated with blood to ever be useful, a blanket, and some loose envelopes of shiny plastic.
MRE packs.
Ryan tossed them out behind as he dug for more. The packs were loose, scattered amid the tools and junk, as if completely unimportant. Sheffield had to be rolling in pre-dark supplies. Ryan cut his hands unearthing the Mylar envelopes, but he didn't care. There was enough food for days. The companions grabbed the packs off the floor and filled their pockets. Everybody wanted to dig into the food here and now, but this was neither the time nor the place. Jamming an envelope into her carpet bag, Mildred noticed a tiny speck of light on her shoe. It wasn't the same shade of blue as the halogen headlights, and she held out a hand to catch the dot on her palm, tracking it back to the pile of rocks. Another buried truck? She hesitantly placed an eye to the opening and gasped.
Sweet Jesus.
Just then, a noise came from down the tunnel, and Ryan hurriedly killed the headlight. Darkness swallowed them whole. Instantly, the noise stopped.
Runt's here.
Tugging his hat on tight, JB drew his Colt 45 pistol and snicked off the safety.
Any idea how many?
Oh.
Let them come.
Doc pulled the pin from a Gren and dropped it into a pocket. Sticky tape held the spoon in place, and he broke a thumbnail digging the end free and unwrapping the charge so it was ready for use. With a good enough bounce, he could get the charge past the runts and it would blow behind them, the shrapnel tearing them to pieces. For a brief instant, Doc was back in his own time, standing before his students explaining this to them as they recoiled in horror. Then reality returned, and the scholar prepared for bloody warfare.
Hold the grins. I may have something better. Give me a second.
Moving fast, JB went to the cab and found the thermos. Unscrewing the top to make sure it was empty, he used a knife to break the vacuum seal and freed the glass container inside. Gingerly lifting out the tube, he carried it to the front of the wag and tried to lift the crumpled hood. It was stuck, so Doc and Jack helped get it loose. Knowing what the man was doing, Ryan moved behind the steering wheel and put his hand on the ignition switch. Locking the hood into place, JB gave Jack the tube and fumbled with the engine until finding the flexible hose that led to the carburetor. He sliced it off with a knife, took the hose, and stuffed the end into the glass container.
Go!
Making sure the wag was in neutral, Ryan cranked the engine, the headlight dimming as the starter struggled to turn the dead engine. The fuel pump wheezed loudly, telling of a break in the diaphragm, but gas squirted out the end of the hose and dribbled into the tube. After a minute, JB held up his hand.
Pull!
Ryan released the ignition switch, and the lights came to life with full force. Mildred handed JB rags she had cut from a Sekhman shirt. The armorer stuffed a piece of cloth into the glass tube and tilted it for a few seconds to moisten the fuse. Then he tied the wet rag around the neck of the bottle and screwed the plastic cap back on tight.
Not much, but it'll catch them unawares.
He handed it to Mildred. Placing the crossbow aside, she nodded, pulled a butane lighter from her pocket, and tested the flame to make sure it was at the maximum setting. Swinging open the door to the cab, Ryan assumed a firing stance behind the barrier.
Range.
Ryan rested the Kalashnikov on the dashboard, the barrel sticking through the smashed windshield. Jack rested a hand on the tunnel floor.
Close. Can feel coming.
Moving with a purpose, the rest of the companions shifted some of the loose rocks into a crude wall on either side of the chassis and crouched behind the cover, checking the found weapons again to make sure they would function. The scuffling sounds grew louder, and when the voices became clear, Ryan pulled the switch, bathing the runts in the bright, clear light. They screamed and covered their faces, many dropping their weapons and backing away. However, towering amid the runts was a monstrous creature of some kind, abnormally large. Its slick skin shone with moisture, and a writhing nest of tentacles reached out from below its miniature snarling face. The eyes were mere slits, the mouth filled with needle-sharp teeth. Now he knew what had been inside the temple of the Runtville. The runts had brought along their god to finish them off.
Fire!
Ryan triggered the long blaster in a chattering spray. The word echoed down the tunnel, and the runts shouted in rage, shaking their spears as the big mutie moved forward with a grinding noise, the tentacles grabbing hold of the support columns and pulling its massive body along across the floor.
Go for the face!
JB fired the blaster steadily, the big bore 45 caliber booming in the underground tunnel. The two Kalashnikovs stuttered in strident fury, the twin streams of 7.62mm rounds stitching the god across its lumpy body. Greenish blood pumped from the puckered holes, and the beast roared, extending a forked tongue toward the companions. The ropey muscle hit the grill and wrapped firmly around the exposed metalwork. As the wag started squealing into movement, Doc lunged and the tongue dropped to the ground, sliced in two. Green ichor smeared along the man's slim sword. A greenish froth filled its mouth, and the mutie howled in rage. Spurred on by the awful pain, the lumbering creature dragged itself toward the norms even faster. Out of ammo, Ryan and Jack dropped their exhausted clips and slapped in spares, while Mildred put an arrow into the mutie's left eye, the shaft disappearing into the gelatinous hide with no appreciable effect. JB snapped off two fast rounds from the Colt, the thunderous discharges illuminating the passageway as bright as day. The 45 caliber slug scored deep grooves across the beast's head, removing a chunk of slimy flesh the size of a dinner plate. The creature rumbled in pain and redoubled its forward speed. Rushing toward the mutie, Mildred lit the fuse of the Molotov and threw the bomb.
Too high, madam!
Doc had a deadly grin balanced in his grip. He debated throwing it now, then realized Mildred's target and braced himself for the results. Tumbling through the air, the glass container smashed to pieces on the ceiling directly above the mutie, pouring its contents of liquid fire upon the beast. Coated with flames, the creature rose upward, bellowing a wordless scream. In blind rage, it threw itself to the right, slamming into the tunnel walls as it tried to shake off the fierce orange thing eating its flesh. The passageway shuddered, loose debris raining to the tunnel floor as the mutie tried again and again to pound out the flames. The runts rushed forward to help, only to have their god crush them under its burning body. A wretched stink filled the air. Green blood welled from its mouth, pouring onto the floor, and then incredibly catching fire as the flames dripped onto the life fluid. Retreating quickly, the companion stopped firing and watched as the subterranean god began to fry inside and out. The light and heat grew into a hellish bonfire, and still the thing struggled to reach its tormentors. Soon a devil's skull with bulging eyes stared at the tiny humans, its stump of a tongue stabbing outward, but failing to hit the mark. Taking careful aim, Ryan triggered the Kalashnikov, the bullet smashing apart the cooking skull, the great wad of brain tissue expanding through the cracks until the gooey pieces dribbled to the floor. The runts went deathly still as the howling monster violently shuddered, then lurched forward one last time, before dropping lifeless to the ground. Fed by the blood of the dead god, the fire raged out of control for minutes, then quickly died. As the flames expired, the companions braced for the expected